This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The latest exhibit at the Lloyd Library and Museum, Medicine Illuminated, provides a rare look into a hidden part of the collections at the Lloyd, medical history and how medicine has been illustrated. A published rare texts on display date from 1546. And here to talk about the exhibit are Anna Heron, Lloyd Library and Museum Exhibits Curator and Education Outreach Coordinator, and medical illustrator Marcia Hartsock, a volunteer at Lloyd Library and co-curator of Medicine Illuminated. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Marcia and Anna, thank you for being here today.
Absolutely.
Anna, how did the Lloyd Library and Museum get its start?
The library was established in 1898, and it really started as the research library for a pharmaceutical manufacturing company here in Cincinnati called Lloyd Brothers. And if you're going to manufacture medicines, you need research materials. And so they started out with a pretty small book collection. And the youngest brother, I kind of jokingly say he would be classified as a hoarder if he was alive today. He liked to collect, and he traveled a lot. And his job was to collect plants as well as research materials for his brother's pharmaceutical endeavors. And he decided he really wanted to focus more on the library and not so much on the pharmacy business. And so the brothers all agreed that he would separate the library off as its own entity. They went through their first two buildings in the space of 5 years. So the first building they got was in 1903, then they had one in 1905, and then they had one in 1908. Our current building is the fourth iteration, and that didn't go up until 1969, so that third building lasted a little bit longer. But what started out as three books that John Urie Lloyd brought with him in 1863 to Cincinnati when he started his pharmacy apprenticeship has turned into about 250,000
wow.
volumes, and they date from 1893 to the present.
So it originally was a research library. Is it still playing that role to some extent today?
Absolutely. And we get researchers from all over the world. Email and internet are wonderful things. So, we get folks from Japan. We get a lot of folks from England and France doing research. And so it's local folks who are just trying to find the right native plants for their garden to major corporations doing new botanical product development. So and everything in between.
Wow. What are some of the other topics you can explore at the Lloyd Library?
Medicinal botany is our biggie, and we're the largest medicinal botany library in the Western Hemisphere. But we also cover all kinds of natural history, so zoology. The bird people really love us because we have a huge ornithology collection. The bug people similarly like us. We had a UC student about 5 or so years ago. She had been to Egypt and brought back, with permission, I'll add that, a collection of dead bugs that she had collected in Egypt. And she came in, and we have this huge publication that is from the scientific findings of the Napoleonic expeditions to Egypt. Well, one volume is nothing but bugs, insects. And so she was able to use that along with a few other reference materials to ID all of the insects that she had brought back with her. So lots of natural history, lots of straight botany. So from finding plants, naming them, making anything from them, and that includes cooking, you'll find it at the library.
So Anna, even though there's a scientific focus to the library, does the library have a relevance to other areas such as the humanities?
Oh, sure. We get a lot of artists in, actually, who are looking to practice their craft. They come in and they want to look at master, artists, and they practice copying. So everything from kind of basic visual arts. We get linguists in who are looking at the development of language across cultures. We have stuff in pretty much every printed language. And then we also have a lot of literature. So poetry and novels, and mostly centered around garden type topics or plant topics. But and then, of course, John Urie Lloyd was a novelist late in his life. And we get a lot of Etta Dorpa groupies.
Now, is the library open to the general public?
Yes, anybody can come in. That's the biggest myth, that you can't come into the library, but we absolutely, you have to ring the doorbell, but anybody can come in and look at the exhibitions, either permanent or temporary. Anybody can ask to use any book in the library for research or just to kind of look through. So, we're not a public library, but we are definitely open to anybody in the public.
Yeah, we can access so much information on the internet these days. Why is a library like the Lloyd Library still even needed?
Not everything is out there.
Okay. What is at the Lloyd?
A lot of stuff is, I mean, we tend to be like the library of last resort, particularly for hardcore researchers. Not everything is on Google Books. Not everything has been digitized. And Marcia and I actually talk about this not infrequently. Some rare books, even though there are multiple copies of them, are one-of-a-kind items. So we have a late 1600s botanical book by somebody that nobody would know. His name is Dominique Chabray. But that book was owned and annotated by the French philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who was a botanist. So while there are other copies of Chabray around, there is no other copy that was owned by Rousseau that he scribbled all over. So rare books particularly tend to be fairly, even if there are multiple copies, tend to be unique items based on who owned them, who wrote in them, that kind of thing. So you're not just going to find that randomly out on the internet.
What's the oldest book in the library?
The oldest book is 1493.
Wow.
It's one of the first books probably not printed in Latin. It's in Italian, and it's a home remedies book, like how to make your own cough syrup sort of thing. And based on ancient Middle Eastern treatments and remedies. But that way you wouldn't have to call the doctor. You could just look up in the book, you know, whatever your ailment was, and then you could go and you would go get stuff out of your garden and you'd be able to cook up some kind of, you know, syrup or some kind of tea and be able to treat yourself.
Very interesting. Now, Marcia, Medicine Illuminated is the new exhibit at the Lloyd Library. How did medical illustrating get its start? This is a really, really old form,
isn't
it? It's
a very old profession. And initially, the artists had been creating images to explain their understanding of the body for over 2,000 years, way back into the Roman Empire, the Egyptian times. And medical illustration created for instruction first appeared in Greece during the 4th century or 3rd century B.C., Galen of Pergamum. And I think people in Cincinnati know that name because there is a Galen School of Nursing, I think, in the area. And his theories of medicine anatomy influenced Western medicine for, over 1,300 years up to the Renaissance. The problem was he did not dissect human bodies. He was a surgeon to the gladiators, but he did not dissect a human body. So the drawings in his anatomy books and writings were all drawn from monkeys and pigs. And then surgeons or physicians had to extrapolate to the human body. That was a problem. If you were not a monkey or a pig, that was a problem. So what the big innovation was in the 16th century with Andreas Vesalius, and he did actually dissect human bodies, observed them, and his book, The Fabrica, was actually the first time that accurate illustrations of human dissections were put into teaching materials. And there is the brand newest copy of that, newest edition of that Vesalius Fabrica is actually owned and on exhibit at the Lloyd Library. So that was a huge change.
Right. And along with the 1550 edition of Galen, which shows the pig dissection on the title page. So they were still 1200 some years later, they were still using the pig this is what the human body looks like.
Right.
That's interesting. What are some other examples of the works that you'll find in this exhibit?
The earliest book published book in the exhibition is a 1546 edition of Hippocrates. And of course, Hippocrates lived in like the 5th century BCE. So this is obviously a much later edition, but still considered in this time period valuable medical information. So that's the earliest one. The Galen is next. We've got one of the first books on Egyptian medicine published in the West. That's from our edition is from the early 1700s. It shows has a lovely depiction of bloodletting in it,
okay.
which was a popular medical treatment. Based on Galen, there were humors in the body that had to be in balance. Otherwise, if they were out of balance, you were sick. So one of the options is you have too much blood, essentially, and so they would have to release some of that to put everything back in balance. So there's this really great depiction of bloodletting.
So Anna, that kind of brings the question to mind: is this a type of subject matter that might not appeal to everybody?
It might not, but I still think that, I mean, even the medical illustrations in the art exhibit might not appeal to everybody, but what I've encouraged people to think about is step back from the subject matter and step into the artistry, because it's really phenomenal.
And I think when Anna and I curated this, we made it a point to select artworks in particular that would not put off audiences, that most people would not have a problem looking at. These are illustrations that mostly depict not just anatomy, but processes and procedures and discoveries over the 40 years that the exhibit covers. So you'll have a modern or one of the modern knee replacements. You'll have illustrations of the mechanism of action of a pharmaceutical drug. You'll have there's a huge sculpture of all the things that can go wrong with your teeth. So these are all discoveries and ways that illustration can be used to really support innovations in science and medicine. And that's really what we've put in the exhibit.
So there are a lot of practical applications to this,
absolutely.
Aren't there?
For their time, absolutely.
Right.
They were innovative.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the knee replacement is all that different from...
No, the hardware, mechanics
the
are pretty much the
so
same.
So if you've
the
had a knee replacement and you wanted to know what it actually looked like inside your leg, you could come and have a look.
You can find out from this exhibit.
You can find out.
Okay. 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Michael in Findlay Market. Hi, Michael.
How you doing, Vic?
Good, thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment, when I was a teen, there were a couple places in Cincinnati. There was the Hebrew Union Rare Books, Hebrew Union College. There was Rare Books at the public library. There was the Hauck Collection, which has unfortunately been dissolved and at auction. And there was the Lloyd. And as a artist and as a person interested in books and printing, it was one of our treasures. And at that time, there wasn't an exhibition program. We were very lucky to have the current exhibition program, and I just wanted to comment on, have them comment on the exhibition program and point out that the ability to pick up wonderful illustrated books is such a rare thing, and
okay.
You're very lucky. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
yeah. So the exhibition program, about 10, 11 years old, before that really kind of not done with any frequency, and so now we have a pretty regular schedule, and we're scheduled out for the next couple of years already. Our philosophy was, if people weren't coming in to see this stuff, there wasn't a whole lot of point in us being there, because everybody thinks everything's on the internet, and of course it's not. And then that's the other thing I mentioned, before, anybody can come in and ask to look at any book. We have one requirement: you have to go wash your hands, and then anybody can look at anything in the collection that they might be interested in. And we think there's a real value to that experience, that tactile experience. Most people, especially when we have kids groups in, they're never going to touch a book from the 1500s anyplace else, but we like to give them that experience. So...
So the hand washing is to protect all the books and the journals and documents.
Right. You want to get the oils off of your hands, because otherwise, in 100 years, your fingerprint is going to be a permanent part of the book.
Could become part of the next exhibit at the Lloyd Library.
That's right. So that's the deal. You come in, you got to wash your hands, especially if you're going to look at rare materials, but then it's pretty well up for grabs.
Marcia, what's the value of medical illustration today in this age of 3D modeling and HD video?
Well, a lot of people ask that, and they say, well, haven't all the books been written? How much do you still have to illustrate books? So the profession has changed considerably, and I think medical illustrators still stand in between the scientist, the medical person, and the community or the student, because we are the visual interpreters of whatever they do. So today, if you look at what medical illustrators can do, they are out there, they are doing animation, they are doing patient education, they are supporting academic research, they are doing animation for film, TV, and internet, they're doing medical simulations, doing virtual reality, they're doing prosthetics. They're doing, today, they're even moving into gaming with medical themes of education and graphic novels. So the field has just expanded hugely in the last 20 years, largely due to, I think, the change in media, but also due to the incredible advances in medicine and science. Every time something is discovered in medicine or science, it needs to be understood and communicated. And that's where a medical illustrator comes in.
So I guess the old saying about a picture is worth a thousand words is true, especially when it comes to medical illustration.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And I think that's what's wonderful about the Lloyd's commitment to the collection that is now at the Lloyd Library. There are about 3,000 pieces of medical illustration by over 20 illustrators and more to come. And this is work that will never be reproduced again, very likely, because the techniques that went into creating a lot of the work that is now at the Lloyd are no longer being taught.
How long have you been a medical illustrator?
It's over 30 years.
What kind of training did you go through? How much training
was there? Every illustrator needs to have a base education and training in some level of medicine, which usually involves anatomical dissection of the body. So you have to understand the body. You have to understand what you're drawing. And then the art classes and the special techniques that go along with it. There are undergraduate programs. There are graduate programs. The training varies around the country and somewhat around the world, but there is a certification program that makes sure that you meet certain standards and keep educated in the field. So,
Anna, how long will this be running at the Lloyd Library and Museum?
The exhibition will be up through the end of July, so you still got about 6-7 weeks to come in and take a look. We have folks, especially downtown folks who work downtown, pop in over lunch. It might not be the most appetizing always. But
it's still fascinating.
But it's still fascinating. So people, you know, pop in and they, you know, kind of enjoy it and they learn something new every time somebody comes in. I never knew this was here. and then they go, wow.
This is really cool.
It's cool. Yeah. And even the medical illustration, it's really cool. Marsha was talking, you were mentioning, you know, the picture worth a thousand words. We have one book in the collection that's not really all that exciting. It's an anatomy book, but there's long sections where there's just text description. The person who owned the book about 100 years ago decided to use that text and make their own illustration of the parts of the sections of the brain.
So that they could understand it.
So they could understand what was in the text. And so we have that person's illustration. We don't even know who it was. Up on display because it's their interaction with the book. They need those pictures to make the words make sense.
Anna and Marcia, thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Anna Heron, Lloyd Library and Museum Exhibits Curator and Education Outreach Coordinator, and medical illustrator Marcia Hartsock, a volunteer at Lloyd Library and co-curator of Medicine Illuminated.